Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the book of James, James chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. This letter is from James, a slave of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm writing to the 12 tribes, Jewish believers scattered abroad. Greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty, with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Believers who are poor have something. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should not, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers. The little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all their achievements. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, "God is tempting me." God is never tempted to do wrong, and He never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. So don't be misled, my dear brothers and sisters. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. He chose to give birth to us by giving us His true word, and we, out of all creation, became His prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. If you claim to be religious but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. Pure and genuine religion in the sight of God the Father means caring for orphans and widows in their distress and refusing to let the world corrupt you. Verses 1 through 27, all of James chapter 1. Thank you, Lord, for the power, the grace, the wisdom, the insight, the encouragement, the strength that we receive as we take time to read and meditate on your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth also that you'll spend as much time with us as we'll spend with you in your word. And thank you for the many ways in which you're molding and shaping and guiding and directing and tutoring us through your word as we read and meditate on it. Father, more and more with every passing day, help us to fall more in love with you and with your word and empower us to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your precious word. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, I ask that you'd speak this morning, that you would speak to our hearts and that we'd be available and listening. Father, I pray that we would build our houses on your firm foundation, on your ways and your will. Father, I ask that we wouldn't be divided, but that you'd highlight where we might be divided so that we can better know which way to go in your way. Father, thank you so much for these moments. Father, I ask that we would not just hear these scriptures that are going to be read, but that we would memorize them, that we'd hide them in our hearts so that we may not sin against you. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We often share with you, as many of you that are regular listeners, articles that we share with the goal of you getting them, hearing them, and getting them and using them as discipleship tools for your own walk with the Lord, tools in the discipleship of your family, but also tools to pass on and share with others, with extended family members, fellow church members, co-workers, and whoever the Lord leads you to, saved and unsaved individuals as well. So please, when you get them, use them, but also please forward them and pass them on to all the Lord leads you to share with. This article is entitled, Praying for Your Prayer Life. Again, the title, Praying for Your Prayer Life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, pray without ceasing. Then Matthew 21, verse 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer. And then Mark 1, 35, in the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Again, Mark 1, 35. As noted above, we are to pray without ceasing. In Ephesians chapter 6, the Lord says to us in verses 18 to 20, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, among other truths we can learn from these passages, we can see that apparently God sees prayer as very, very important. If God sees prayer that way, we would be wise to seek to see it as important to us as it is to God. It's obvious that God wants us to maximize the benefits of ceaseless prayer. A wise way to approach a command like this, like that, is to say, not say, that's impossible. Rather, we're to pray, Lord, help me and teach me how to pray without ceasing. God doesn't ever command us to do things we cannot do. He commands us to do things we can only do in His power, in His wisdom, and in His grace. So a starting place with this command can be, Lord, teach me how and guide and strengthen me to pray without ceasing. Another way to pray to help us in this matter is to pray the prayer of Jabez over your prayer life every day. See 1 Chronicles 4, verses 9 to 10. As we do this, our prayer life can grow stronger and stronger, becoming more and more fruitful in many ways. The Holy Spirit is our divine tutor. He can teach us how to pray without ceasing and empower us to do just that. So here's a prayer to pray daily over your prayer life. Dear Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the privilege of being able to talk with you in prayer every day. Dear Lord, bless my prayer life indeed. Expand its territory. Place your hand anew upon it and keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. And then trust God to teach you new insights about prayer. And pray, pray, pray. Both now and as you learn more, be a disciple that is living a prayer-filled life. Again, the title of that article, Praying for Your Prayer Life. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. The next article is entitled, God's Word, 3 Chapters a Day. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Again, Psalm 119, verse 105. Then Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Again, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Practicing daily spiritual habits or spiritual disciplines are necessary in our daily walk with the Lord. Why is that true? Because followers of Christ are to be passionately faithful to Him. In life, we form habits to help us consistently do things that are important to us, habits that help us accomplish the goals we believe are critical to our lives. I pretty regularly encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in God's Word every day. This habit is one of the most important to establish in the life of any believer. Why 3 chapters and why every day? Well, if a believer reads 3 chapters in the Word of God every day, that can be a basic spiritual meal of sorts. It might be that you read the same chapter 3 times a day, or you may read 3 different chapters. Doing either is fruitful and wise. How is this helpful? Well, the Word of God is Jesus, and Jesus is the Word of God. So when you're reading the Word of God, it's one-on-one time talking and spending time with Jesus. It's your daily appointment time with the Lord. The Lord Jesus will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with Him in His Word. It's important for us to read the Word of God every day. Just as our bodies need physical food and nourishment every day, so too must we feed our spirits daily as well. God's Word is food for our spirits like physical food is food for our physical bodies. Feeding your physical body every day can help you to be strong, vibrant, and healthy. Feeding your spirit the Word of God daily can help you to be strong, vibrant, and spiritually healthy. Now, if a man or woman only ate a small snack once every other day, very soon he or she would grow physically weak. Likewise, when a believer reads a verse or two from the Word of God every day or every other day, he or she will become spiritually weak or spiritually anemic. Sadly, it appears that too many believers live on what you might call a starvation diet spiritually. It's spiritual neglect. Too many believers may not even pick up a Bible for days in their lives. It is for this reason that many believers are spiritually anemic, spiritually weak and frail. My suggestion to you is today, start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in the Word of God each day. It's a way of blessing yourself and rewarding yourself. See Psalm 1 verses 1 to 3, and Genesis 15, verse 1. Why not start rewarding yourself today? Here are 10 great reasons to start reading God's Word daily. Number 1, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and to grow up in your faith. Number 2, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. Number 3, reading the Word daily empowers your prayer life. Number 4, reading the Word daily sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. Number 5, reading the Word daily ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. Number 6, it helps you maintain your mental health. Number 7, it increases the anointing of God in every area of your life. Number 8, it increases your wisdom in every area of your life as well. 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. And a 10th reason to read the Word daily is it pours grace, peace, mercy, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. Reading 3 chapters a day from the Word of God will bless you tremendously. Let's make it a high priority. And parents, we are wise to have our children read no less than 3 chapters out loud to us every day as well. It will greatly bless them and your home. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity for us to read your Word daily. Anoint every listener and all those we've lifted up in prayer today with a fresh anointing that would cause us to grow in our commitment to feed on your Word diligently every day, and to be committed to reading at least 3 chapters daily as well and receiving the benefits, and help us as parents to do the same, to help our children be blessed in this way as well. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back.
But you are the living Word filled now. Come on.
Sent down from glory.
Many things. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Send down from glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
The music of Fred Hammond with You Are the Living Word. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Just a way of encouragement to all of our listeners, if you'd ask the question, how long would it take to read the Bible through? Well, if you were able to read without stopping, it takes just about 70 hours and 40 minutes to read the Bible all the way through at pulpit rate, you might say. It takes about 52 hours and 20 minutes to read the Old Testament, and just about 18 hours and 20 minutes to read the New Testament. Now, I'm guessing there aren't a whole lot of folks that will sit and read all the way through it in one sitting, but that's just an important informational bit of information to share. Now, if you were to read the Book of Psalms, it would probably take you right about close to 4.5 hours to read all the way through the Book of Psalms straight. And again, to read the book of Luke may take you right about 2 hours and 43 minutes or so. But reading the Word of God every day is a wise thing. If you were to read about 15 minutes a day, you could read the entire Bible through in a year. But again, our hope is that you'll make a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day, and it'll bless you greatly. As we pick up now reading through the Word of God, we're picking up now in the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 1, starting at verse 17. The descendants of Shem were Elam, Asher, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. The descendants of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Arphaxad was the father of Shelah. Shelah was the father of Eber. Eber had 2 sons. The first was named Peleg, which means division. For during his lifetime, the people of the world were divided into different language groups. His brother's name was Joktan. Joktan was the ancestor of Almodad, Sheleph, Hazarmaveth, Jera, Hadoram, Uzal, Dikla, Obal, Abimael, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the descendants of Joktan. So this is the family line descended from Shem, Arphaxad, Shelah, Eber, Peleg, Reu, Serug, Nahor, Terah, and Abram, later known as Abraham. The sons of Abraham were Isaac and Ishmael. These are their genealogical records. The sons of Ishmael were Nebaioth, the oldest, Kedar, Adbeel, Mibsam, Mishma, Duma, Massa, Hadad, Tema, Jeter, Naphish, and Kedemah. These were the sons of Ishmael. The sons of Keturah, Abraham's concubine, were Zimran, Jokshan, Medan, Midian, Ishbak, and Shua. The sons of Jokshan were Sheba and Dedan. The sons of Midian were Ephah, Epher, Hanok, Abida, and Eldaah. All these were descendants of Abraham through his concubine, Keturah. Abraham was the father of Isaac. The sons of Isaac were Esau and Israel. The sons of Esau were Eliphaz, Reuel, Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. The descendants of Eliphaz were Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, Kenaz, and Amalek, who was born to Timnah. The descendants of Reuel were Nahath, Zerah, Shammah, and Mizah. The descendants of Seir were Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Ana, Dishan, Ezer, and Dishan. The descendants of Lotan were Hori and Hemam. Lotan's sister was named Timnah. The descendants of Shobal were Alvan, Manahath, Ebal, Shepho, and Onam. The descendants of Zibeon were Aiah and Anah. The son of Anah was Dishan. The descendants of Dishan were Hamdan, Eshban, Ithran, and Keran. The descendants of Ezer were Bilha, Zeavan, and Akan. The descendants of Dishan were Uz and Aaron. These are the kings who ruled in the land of Edom before any king ruled over the Israelites. Bela, son of Beor, who ruled from his city of Dinhaba. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zerah, from Bozrah, became king in his place. When Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites became king in his place. When Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, became king in his place and ruled from the city of Avith. He was the one who destroyed the Midianite army in the land of Moab. When Hadad died, Samla from the city of Masreka became king in his place. When Samla died, Shaul from the city of Rehoboth on the river became king in his place. When Shaul died, Baal-Hanan, son of Achbor, became king in his place. When Baal-Hanan died, Hadad became king in his place and ruled from the city of Pau. His wife was Mehetabel, the daughter of Matred and granddaughter of Me-Zahab. Then Hadad died. The clan leaders of Edom were Timnah, Alva, Japheth, Ohalibama, Elah, Penan, Kenaz, Timon, Mibzar, Magdiel, and Iram. These are the clan leaders of Edom. 1 Chronicles chapter 2. The sons of Israel were Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Dan, Joseph, Benjamin, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. Judah had three sons from Bathshua, a Canaanite woman. Their names were Onan, and Shelah. But the Lord saw that the oldest son, was a wicked man, so he killed him. Later, Judah had twin sons from Tamar, his widowed daughter-in-law. Their names were Perez and Zerah. So Judah had five sons in all. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. The sons of Zerah were Zimri, Ethan, Heman, Calcol, and Darda, five in all. The son of Carmi, a descendant of Zimri, was Achan, who brought disaster on Israel by taking plunder that had been set apart for the Lord. The son of Ethan was Azariah. The sons of Hezron were Jerah, Jeramiel, Ram, and Caleb. Ram was the father of Amminadab. Amminadab was the father of Nashon, a leader of Judah. Nashon was the father of Salmon. Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse's first son was Eliab. His second was Abinadab. His third was Shimeah. His fourth was Nathanael. His fifth was Radai. His sixth was Ozem. And his seventh was David. Their sisters were named Zeruiah and Abigail. Zeruiah had three sons named Abishai, Joab, and Asahel. Abigail married a man named Jether, an Ishmaelite, and they had a son named Amasa. Hezron's son Caleb had sons from his wife Azubah and from Jerioth. Her sons were named Jesher, Shobab, and Ardon. After Azubah died, Caleb married Ephrathah, and they had a son named Hur. Hur was the father of Uri. Uri was the father of Bezalel. When Hezron was 60 years old, He married Gilead's sister, the daughter of Machir. They had a son named Segub. Segub was the father of Jair, who ruled 23 towns in the land of Gilead. But Jeshur and Aram captured the towns of Jair and also took Kenath and its 60 surrounding villages. All these were descendants of Machir, the father of Gilead. Soon after Hezron died in the town of Caleb Ephrathah, his wife Abijah gave birth to a son named Asher, the father of Tekoa. The sons of Jerahmeel, the oldest son of Hezron, were Ram, the firstborn, Buna, Oren, Ozem, and Ahijah. Jerahmeel had a second wife named Atara. She was the mother of Onam. The sons of Ram, the oldest son of Jerahmeel, were Maaz, Jamin, and Eker. The sons of Onan were Shammai and Jada. The sons of Shammai were Nadab and Abishur. The sons of Abishur and his wife Abihail were Aban and Molid. The sons of Nadab were Seled and Apayim. Seled died without children, but Apayim had a son named Ishai. The son of Ishai was Sheshan. Sheshan had a descendant named Alai. The sons of Jada, Shammai's brother, were Jether and Jonathan. Jether died without children, but Jonathan had two sons named Peleth and Zaza. These were all descendants of Jerahmeel. Sheshan had no sons, though he did have daughters. He also had an Egyptian servant named Jeha, named Jarhe. Sheshan gave one of his daughters to be the wife of Jarha, and they had a son named Attai. Attai was the father of Nathan. Nathan was the father of Zabad. Zabad was the father of Ephlal. Ephlal was the father of Obed. Obed was the father of Jehu. Jehu was the father of Azariah. Azariah was the father of Helez. Helez was the father of Eliasa. Eliasa was the father of Sismai. Sismai was the father of Shalom. Shalom was the father of Jechamiah. Jechamiah was the father of Elishama. The descendants of Caleb, the brother of Jerahmeel, included Mesha, the firstborn, who became the father of Ziph. Caleb's descendants also included the sons of Maresha, the father of Hebron. The sons of Hebron were Korah, Tapua, Rechem, and Shema. Shema was the father of Raham. Raham was the father of Jorkiam. Rechem was the father of Shammai. The son of Shammai was Maon. Maon was the father of Beth-Zur. Caleb's concubine Ephah gave birth to Haran, Moza, and Gazez. Haran was the father of Gazez. The sons of Jadai were Regem, Jotham, Geshan, Pelet, Ephah, and Sheaf. Another of Caleb's concubines, Maacah, gave birth to Sheber and Terhana. She also gave birth to Sheaf, the father of Madmana, and Sheba, the father of Machbena and Gibeah. Caleb also had a daughter named Aksa. These were all descendants of Caleb. The sons of Hur, the oldest son of Caleb's wife, Ephrathah, were Shobal, the founder of Kiriath Jearim, Salma, the founder of Bethlehem, and Haref, the founder of Beth Gader. The descendants of Shobal, the founder of Kiriath Jearim, were Haroe, half the Manahathites, and the families of Kiriath Jearim, the Ithrites, the Puthites, the Shemathites and the Mishrahites, from whom came the people of Zorah and Eshtaol. The descendants of Salma were the people of Bethlehem, the Netophathites, the Atroth Beth Joab, the other half of the Manahathites, the Zorites, and the families of the scribes living at Jabez, the Tarathites, the Shimeathites, and the Sukathites. All these were Kenites who descended from Hamath, the father of the family of Rechab. Thank you, Father, again, for the opportunity for us to read your word daily. Thank you for the opportunity we have as husbands and wives to read your word together daily. Thank you for the opportunity we have as families to be able to read your word together. And thank you for the opportunity we have as parents to have each of our children to read no less than 3 chapters out loud to us each and every day. Thank you for the chance to bless our homes as we pour grace into our homes, as we read and meditate on your word in our homes. We thank you and praise you for that opportunity. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We'll be right back as we're reading through the Word of God. Music of Phillips, Craig, and Dean with the Revelation Song. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets, and now in these last final days, He's spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, He created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And He sustains everything by the mighty power of His command. When He had cleansed us from our sins, He sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave Him is greater than their names. For God never said to any angel what He said to Jesus, "You are my Son. Today I have become your Father." God also said, "I will be His Father and He will be my Son." And when He brought His Supreme Son into the world, God said, "Let all of God's angels worship Him." Regarding the angels, He says, He sends His angels like the winds, His servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, He says, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with a scepter of justice. You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than on anyone else." He also says to the Son, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You will fold them up like a cloak, and discard them like old clothing. But you are always the same. You will live forever." And God never said to any of the angels, "Sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Therefore, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. Hebrews chapter 2. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through angels was always, has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus Himself and then delivered to us by those who heard Him speak? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever He chose. And furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, "What are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels, and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things." Now, when it says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. And because He suffered death for us, He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into their salvation. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters, for He said to God, "I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people." He also said, "I will put my trust in Him, that is, I and the children God has given me." Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Hebrews chapter 3. And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God and are partners with those called to heaven, think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. For he was faithful to God who appointed him, just as Moses served faithfully when he was entrusted with God's entire house. But Jesus deserves far more glory than Moses, just as a person who builds a house deserves more praise than the house itself. For every house has a builder, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was certainly faithful to God's house as a servant. His work was an illustration of the truths God would reveal later. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house, and we are God's house if we keep our courage and remain confident in our hope in Christ. That is why the Holy Spirit says, "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. And so I was angry with them, and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath, they will never enter my place of rest." Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end, trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. Remember what it says, "Today, when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts, as Israel did when they rebelled." And so was it, and who was it who rebelled against God, even though they heard his voice? Wasn't it the people Moses led out of Egypt? And who made God angry for 40 years? Wasn't it the people who sinned, whose corpses lay in the wilderness? And to whom was God speaking when he took an oath that they would never enter his rest? Wasn't it the people who disobeyed him? So we see that because of their unbelief, they were not able to enter his rest. Verses 1 through 18, all of Hebrews chapter 3. Thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to be diligent students of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that your word is the source of all power, the source of all grace, the source of all joy, the source of all mercy. More and more, help us to be wise enough to fill our hearts, our minds, our lives with your word every day. Help us to make one of the high priorities of our day every day to get into your word and to read it each and every day, and make us all to become much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you desire to make the eternally important decision of asking Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life and be saved, would you like to make that step even now? If you'd like to make that step, would you simply from your heart pray this prayer with me and commit your heart and your life to the Lord so you can be saved too? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into the world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong, sinful things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord and Savior of my life. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, right now, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to obey your word daily. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some resource materials and literature that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong and vibrant in your new walk with the Lord. Please email us at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We definitely want to get that material into your possession. Please email us again, joseph@afr.net. If you'd like copies of the two articles we shared earlier, the two titles were Praying for Your Prayer Life, the first article, and the second article, God's Word, 3 chapters a day. Same email. Simply email us, joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get one or both of those to you as well. Again, the two titles, Praying for Your Prayer Life and God's Word, 3 chapters a day. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.